I will be reading Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. In that region, there were the shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Amen. Thank you, Abby. So as a way to begin, I just want to plug Family Christmas Live one more time. And just a reminder that if you don't have costumes available, we do have costumes that will be ready to go for kids in the various characters that they would like to dress up as. We may all, though, have had that experience either as a parent or maybe a kid ourselves when we've had to be in Christmas programs at church or, you know, nativity scenes, you know, that time when we have been handed the shepherd's robes. Have you had that experience? And either your kid or maybe you yourself just kind of give a sigh and say, "Well, I don't want to be a shepherd. I'm always a shepherd. Why do I have to be a shepherd again?" I will say, though, if you grow up in the Midwest and you have to do a live nativity scene in the middle of December, you are very grateful for those shepherd's robes. Okay? I'm just saying. But they do. I mean, the shepherds, they kind of get a bad rap. You know, they're seen as extras, so nobody wants to be them. They're like kind of in the background. But, you know, with the obvious exception of Jesus and Mary, I mean, you could argue that the shepherds are the most important characters in this passage, maybe even the most important characters in the Christmas story. I mean, certainly they are the most unexpected. So another I don't want to experience. In seminary, we were to do these assignments from time to time called exegesis. So think about, you know, having to write an HTML code or, you know, advanced calculus or like a mini dissertation. Basically, all the things I ever hated about school, and honestly, part of the reason I became a pastor, so I wouldn't have to deal with that kind of stuff. I had to do that in seminary. So an exegesis is this intense research process where you have to write a paper and you examine a biblical document and a particular passage in that document. You have to discover and argue, you know, when it was written, who was it written for. So, you know, historically, culturally, you have to analyze every single word of this particular passage and weigh how it affects the rest of the book or the letter. So my first exegesis was on this passage. And I have to say, I mean, as passages go, it wasn't too bad to do, because the whole idea about an exegesis is you have to say, what does this particular passage have to do with the rest of the document? So obviously you can't have the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ if he's not born first. So this is kind of an important passage. But it wasn't really the birth of Christ that I found myself really researching or writing a whole lot about. It was the announcement, the proclamation, and the fact that it was made to shepherds. So when we think of shepherds in the Bible, we might think either of this passage or maybe, you know, Psalm 23, right? The shepherd who leads us to green pastures and takes us to still waters. You know, the shepherd who restores our soul. In scriptures, shepherds are often seen as these very wise, you know, peaceful, gentle guides, you know, people who will lead us to great places. But historically and culturally, shepherds were seen as kind of these wandering nomads, right? These people who were walking from place to place, so they really didn't have a home. They didn't smell great because they smelled like sheep. And people were afraid that, you know, because they were strangers, they weren't to be trusted. People were afraid that they would come into their village and steal all their stuff and then, you know, escape into the night. They didn't really have any roots, so they didn't really have any identity. So people didn't really like shepherds. They didn't really trust them. They were kind of the untrustworthy, you know, kind of shallow people of this time. But these are the people whom the angel proclaims the good news. So out of everybody in the entire world, why does the angel, why does God choose to share this good news with lowly shepherds? To you, the angel says, to you, these shepherds, is born this day a Savior. How many of us are hoping that we hear that message? But of course, the angel doesn't stop there. The angel says, peace among those whom God favors, peace among those whom God loves, peace among those whom God's favor rests. So the question might be, well, then who does God favor? Jesus tells us, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the persecuted, blessed are the hungry, blessed is the alien, blessed is the last. And then, of course, the angel doesn't even stop there, because it's not just good news for those who seek hope and justice. The angel says to these shepherds, I bring good news, which is for all the people. All people. Now, I don't know about you, but I often struggle in the pursuit of social justice, the pursuit of restoration and reconciliation. I often have to ask myself, where is that line between restoring justice and fighting for others? Where's the line between that and then just simply condemning people who I think need it? You know, when it makes me feel good, and to say it to people who already agree with me. It is sometimes very hard to find that line. I think there's a reason that Jesus takes a different approach than a lot of the major and minor prophets of the Hebrew scriptures. See, Jesus embodies and proclaims their justice. He does it to crowds. He does it to individuals. He does it to authorities. Sometimes he makes people upset. He makes them draw lines in anger. Sometimes he even draws those lines himself. He confronts people. He gets right up in their faces, and he doesn't back down from the challenges. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples, we are called to do the same from time to time. But Jesus also reaches out. He forms relationships. He tells stories. He asks questions. And he listens. So does he change the hearts of tax collectors and wealthy landowners and Roman centurions because he does nothing but shout and scream about how horrible they are? It is through the ministry of love and connection that he is able to usher transformation. Because he believes, as the angel proclaimed, this is good news of great joy for all people. All people. And so just as you have the beginning of the good news proclaimed to a bunch of lowly shepherds, so do you also have the end of the good news being proclaimed by a Roman centurion when he's kneeling at the cross saying, surely this man was the Son of God. It is good news for all people because it is capable of transforming all people. All people who hear it, all people who are seeking it. And that is the good news, that it is available to anyone and everyone at any time and at every time. No one is excluded. All are loved by God. And the thing that we need to remember is that is a large social justice political statement right there. The fact that Jesus gives this good news to anyone and everyone is saying to the establishment, to the thinking at that time, and sometimes even to this time, that God's good news of great joy is for any and all people. Jesus' ministry of love and inclusion was a political statement to the world and its rules as much as it was the embodiment of the love of God. So today, who needs to hear this good news? How do they need to hear it? Is there only one way? Is the way that we have heard the good news the way that everyone needs to hear it? What might be the way God is calling us to share the good news of the Christmas story? Think about it this way. How has God created you? Has God created you to be a loud person or maybe more soft-spoken? Has God created you to be comfortable in speaking your mind or maybe perhaps to be more reserved? However we have been designed, we must also remember that God has designed others in similar ways. What works for some does not work with others, but that is the beauty of diversity. That is also the beauty of what the whole story of God teaches us. However we are created differently, we are also created with one universal truth. We all crave relationship. We crave to be seen. We crave to be understood. We crave to be known. We crave to be loved. We crave to know that we are not alone and that we are accepted for who we are. And we need to be reminded of that in all sorts of different ways because the good news has been made for all people. Many of you probably went to the breakfast with Santa that we had last week. If you didn't, there was about, 300 people who showed up to that event. No advertising at all. It was the first time that we had done this. We opened the doors and the people just came in. And not just, you know, kids and families, not just people with kids, all sorts of individuals, including those who were homeless, those who decided to show up, who were let in and welcomed, who were able to have breakfast, have coffee, just have a warm place to be able to see Christmas decorations. Many of our greeters and our first seekers had conversations with folks and said, oh, by the way, we're also having sights and sounds. And the more they talked about it with folks, the more people said, oh, that sounds great. You know, unfortunately, I can't come. I have to be at Talbot House by 4:00. But some of them said, you know, that even sounds worth sleeping outside. And I want to say we told them, no, don't do that. It's too cold. But just the fact that they were drawn in and that they saw that this was a place, a beacon of acceptance where they could simply be, even for an hour or so. How do we continue to be that beacon? How do we continue to be that light of hope, that place, that sanctuary where people, no matter where they have come from, whether or not they've been here before, see this place as a sanctuary where they can simply come and be, where they can receive the light of peace, of hope, and of joy? Because when we are at our best, we show the world that this truly is a place for all people, the rich and the well-educated, the comfortable, the occasionally struggling, the tired and those who are worried about their future, the poor and those who are at the end of the rope, the ones who feel like giving up. How will we share the good news of great joy, which is for all people? So what is it about Advent? What is it about Christmas? What is it about First United Methodist Church? What is it about Jesus Christ that gives you joy? Because chances are, if it gives joy to you, it's going to give joy to someone else. If we are a church who can simply open its doors on a Saturday morning and all kinds of people show up and come through, it's telling us that we're doing something right. So how do we take it further? How is God calling us to take it further? And when God shows us ways that we can share this good news of great joy with others, how will we share it? How will we all be shepherds? If this experience, if this place has touched your heart, then chances are it's going to touch the heart of someone else. Especially on this Advent season, as we are coming into the birth of Jesus Christ, the celebration of Christmas, is there somebody in this community, perhaps going through a time of darkness themselves, who needs to be reminded that they too are a part of the light of Jesus Christ? Perhaps you are the only one who is able to put into words or into action in presence what it is they need to hear and how they need to hear it. Let us not be afraid of the light that we have, because if it burns bright within us, chances are it can burn and ignite for someone else. So let us go in the hope, in the peace, and in the joy of that good news, which is for all people. And let us share it with the people in our lives. Amen.